Is it on? It's okay. Take your Bibles this morning. And to begin, I want us to turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. And I do little things a little differently this morning, but that's okay. Psalm 100. And if you have your Bible open, I want us all to read it together out loud. Or if you know it, you can quote it. Many of you probably have this psalm memorized. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. And so let's read it or quote it together this morning. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Father, we thank you again for your word. Lord, as we praise your name today, may our hearts be filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. We thank you that we are your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes churches have Thanksgiving morning services, or maybe sometimes Thanksgiving Eve services, where people give testimonies. And I want to just give us a few minutes here of opportunity to praise the Lord, and would love to have any of you that want to give a testimony. Now, I did not send out an email to prepare you for this, and that's deliberate, because I believe that every believer ought to have that for which they are thankful. And we ought to be ready at any time to praise the Lord and to thank him for his goodness, to thank him for what he's doing in our lives, thank him for his provision. And there's so much to be thankful for. And so, anyway, like I said, this is a little bit of a different service. But I'd like to have some of you give some testimonies. How many of you today are thankful? Raise your hand if you're thankful today. Good. All right. Now, so I have plenty of volunteers. We shouldn't lack for any testimonies. I just wanted to make sure there wasn't anybody holding out. So, anyway, just briefly, now this is... I'm going to say women are allowed to give testimonies to her. You're not preaching in the service. You're not instructing men. This is a time of testimony. And so if you have something that you'd like to praise the Lord for, any of you, all of you, are welcome to give a testimony. And the more testimonies we have, the shorter my sermon gets. Boy, now look at this. Everybody's getting ready. Right, yeah, I should have you raising their hand. A frenzied effort to give a testimony or a long testimony, right? But anyway, I'll start off. I'm thankful. There's, of course, so much to be thankful for. But I'm thankful for God's patience, his long suffering. As we've been memorizing through Hebrews chapter 3, and as I study it, and of course, I know as you've been hearing the messages, and we think about the children of Israel and how they provoked him. And, you know, you do see the Lord becoming to that point where he was angry with them. And they finally got to the point where he says, you're going to die in the wilderness. You will not enter into my rest. And they grieved him. 40 years was he grieved with that generation. And yet, back in Numbers, where they come up to the promised land and God commands them to go in, and they refuse. And his anger is hot. And what does Moses do? He immediately intercedes for the people. And as I brought this out last Sunday, he intercedes for the people, and he prays to the Lord. And he calls upon the Lord using the very name that God gave him when he showed him his glory. And we go back to that time when Moses is on the mount. God covers his face as he walks by, and he declares the name of the Lord, long-suffering, slow to anger, full of mercy. And he declares this to Moses back there on Mount Sinai and here at the gateway to the promised land at the Jordan River. When they refuse to go in, Moses falls on his face and he says, "Oh God, long suffering and full of compassion, full of mercy, slow to anger." He goes, "Pardon their sin." And he says, "I have pardoned them." But then he says, "But they're still not going to enter in." And what a horrible, situation those people found themselves in. But I'm so thankful that God is long-suffering. And we look at the children of Israel, and we tend to see them as people that are awful stubborn, and sure enough, they were. But often we fail to see ourselves in that. And, of course, as I look at the children of Israel, I see myself. And so often I'm stubborn, I complain. I don't, instead of going to God with my needs, I grumble. But God is faithful. He's long-suffering. He's patient with us. And I'm so thankful for God's patience in my life. I'm glad God is not like us. We are impatient people. If God were like us, there would be no more of us. We would be long gone. Okay? But God is patient. I'm thankful for his long-suffering, for his patience in my life. Of course, there are so many other things that I'm thankful for, but that is one thing that has kind of stuck out in my mind as we've been going through Hebrews chapter 3. Someone else, anyone else, want to share a brief testimony? Brother Ken.
I am thankful for number 9 and the grandchildren.
All right.
Came this Friday afternoon.
Got a name?
Owen Maverick. I don't think Maverick has anything to do with being a Maverick.
Does the name fit, or is the person going to fit the name? Yeah, okay. But everything went well?
One of the first pictures, he looked pretty grumpy.
Looked just like his grandpa, right?
Yeah.
That was the first thing when Grayson was first born. I looked at him, and I saw my father-in-law's face, and I thought, oh, no, he's a little grumpy old man. He got cuter, though. Becky's shaking her head. This one, by the way, you don't need to upload this sermon today. You can record it, but we won't upload it. So, that's right. All right. Well, praise the Lord. So are you going to visit?
He's going Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning. All right. I'm sure they'll. How long have you gone? Okay.
Recovery is longer.
Right, sure. Okay. Well, praise the Lord that it went well. And
so it means I have to bring donuts.
Okay. All right, with blue icing, right? Okay. All right, someone else. Anybody else? Somebody else with a testimony of Thanksgiving this morning. Grayson.
I'm thankful that we're able to come home for Thanksgiving.
Good. We're glad you're home. It's good to have the boys back home. It's always good to crowd around the dinner table and feel like all the birds are back in the nest for a while. I know that feeling is soon going to be gone, but it's always enjoyable. Somebody else? You all raised your hands, so I know I can call on you if I need to. So, someone else? Testimony of Thanksgiving. Brother Frank.
I am thankful that he saved the imperfect. As we read through the Bible and we see different illustrations, there's people who are imperfect. Paul, he started off a very imperfect person, and look what he did with him, and things that he did, and the examples that he provides for us. And then looking at my own life and how imperfect I am, and where he brought me from, and still how bad he'd go, but he works on us. He continues to grow in us. And that's what I'm waiting for. Even though we are not perfect, he's there. All it kind of patiently alongside us, helping us to grow.
Amen. And we know you're imperfect. You forgot the keys on Friday. Just kidding. just kidding. Somebody else. Nate.
I'm thankful for God's provision and just the comfort that he gives us, even when things don't seem to be going well, just the comfort that he gives us, that he will provide exactly what we need and in the right time.
Good. Larry. Would you like to follow that up there, Beth? Amen. Amen. Someone else. Blessing back there, Josiah.
He does.
He does.
I have a blessing.
Yep.
I have many, of course, but the blessing of Josiah is a big one this year. He just turned one today.
Happy birthday, Josiah. Somebody else. Seth.
I'm really thankful for God's love. That's just something that he's been showing me and realizing more lately. And just seeing all the different things that he does for me, allowing me to even be at school with the godly friends that are at school that I have. And just thinking about different things like the family that he's put me in, my siblings, my parents. All the different opportunities that he's given me. And it's just, it's been a real blessing to think about those things and then to be able to trust him out of the future. And,
Amen.
Firmly planted in God's grace, not for any the behavior or the outcome of us to do that, or whatever God does for me, but to be sure that God is good.
I was thinking about that last night as I was going to bed. I was thinking about the goodness of God and how God is good and what it means to be good. And we use that, we use the word good a lot, and it's a good word. But you know, God is also always correct. God always does what is right. But have you ever known someone that was right? but they weren't good. They were right, but they were obnoxious. They were right, but they just rubbed it in your face, or they just, but God, he's not only right, but he is good. And all that he does is good for me. All that he does is good for you. And it is because goodness is his nature. And that's hard to imagine because we are not good people. We may occasionally do some good things or, you know, something good may come out, but by nature, we are not good people. But God in his nature is essentially good, goodness. And, you know, isn't it fun to be right? We always love to be right. But being right often makes us proud and we're not good. And we can really be irritating when we're right. Don't you like that? I mean, don't you see that husband and wife, you know? Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, he was right again. But goodness, and I appreciate you mentioning that because, yeah, I was thinking about that last night, about God being good, but him also being right. But in being right and righteous, he's still good. And that's just what a wonderful God we serve. He is truly good. And to understand that goodness, it you have to look apart from us. We have to look to him. He's good. Someone else. Good. Anybody else? Brother Six. Amen. It's God who gives the ability to get wealth, to work, to do that. And that is a blessing. A blessing to see his provision. Anyone else? Oh, Grayson, number two. Okay. And the children of Israel forgot God's provision, didn't they? That's the one thing. God provided for them over and over and over. And were they thankful? No, they weren't thankful. They complained. And, you know, folks, we have nothing to complain about. We should be thankful and be careful that we're not like the children of Israel who grumbled when God provided their every need. Anybody else? Oscar, what are you thankful for? Good. All right. Gabriel, what are you thankful for? Okay, good. Grace, what are you thankful for? You only have to list one. Now, are you saying you guess you're thankful, or you're sure? You're thinking, oh, okay. Good. All right. Diego, what are you thankful for? Amen. Good. All right. Paloma. What are you thankful for?
President.
Thankful for the president. Well, good. All right. Did you bring your Make America Great Again hat today? Okay. Samuel, what are you thankful for? Good. Hannah, what are you thankful for? Nate or Evan?
We had a safe trip on the plane.
Good. Sarah?
I'm thankful for music.
Thankful for music. Well, good. Me too. Laura?
I'm really thankful for my Bobby guys and their instruction. And it's thankful that they're always there for me and ready to praise me when I deserve it.
Jaden, you thankful for anything? Okay, good. Lucas, you're hiding. What are you thankful for? You're thankful for the pastor? Well, come on up. That's what I've been looking for. No. I'll pay you later. Okay. Okay, now we can get to the message. I was just waiting for that one. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Justice. Do not be silent. I know you've been at college. They've been teaching you how to speak, so speak up. What are you thankful for? You know you're next, so be ready. Okay. Good. Good. It is your turn, Matthew. Good. Good. All right. Well, good. These are good testimonies. I appreciate your speaking up, and we have so much to be thankful for. And I trust that as you have the opportunity this week to spend time with family and even on Thanksgiving Day, that again, you'll just take that opportunity to praise the Lord. We should do that more often. But recognize and vocalize what we are thankful for. And it's an encouragement to others, but also it reminds us, you see, when we're thankful, we're admitting something. When we are thankful, it's humbling. To be thankful, it tells others, and it is a reminder to ourselves, that we are not deserving of that for which we are thankful. You know, the passage in Scripture that I'm always touched by, I can't read it without being moved, is found in Luke chapter 17. If you have your Bibles, you can look at Luke 17. But in Luke 17, there is a miracle there that Jesus performed. Beginning in verse 11, it says, "And it came to pass, as he," speaking of Jesus, "went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Well, where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Here's a simple story recorded for us, but the truths that are in this story are powerful. And here is Jesus traveling to Jerusalem, going through the cities and the areas that he frequently traveled through. And as he came to this one village, there were 10 men. 10. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, there's 10 people on the second row. 10 men, and all of them had the dread disease, the incurable disease of leprosy. And leprosy was not just an awful disease, but it was a feared disease, and it rendered you ostracized from society. You were a castaway, and you had to be. You could not be around other people because this disease, and of course, as we know now, at least what people are calling leprosy, whether it was exactly the same disease back then, it's a bacterial infection that, left untreated, destroys tissue and destroys the human body. And so here were these men, and they were ostracized from society. They were cast away. They could hang out with each other because they all had the same disease, but they all were facing the same fate. It was going to be a slow, painful, miserable, lonely death. And Jesus comes into their city. They hear about it. And Brother Tim, if you want to shut off the air conditioning, you can. It's cold in here and it's blowing, so I don't know if anybody else is freezing. I'm doing fine, but I don't want you to be uncomfortable. I don't want you to have anything to complain about today. Anyway, but here are these 10 men, and they met Jesus. They see Jesus, and they met him, but they didn't come close. It says they met him afar off. How would you like to have a relationship with people where whenever you saw people, it'd be about as far as me to Larry. Hi, Larry, how are you doing? Let's have a good conversation. You talk about personal space. I mean, that was a lot of personal space when it came to lepers. They were not allowed to be around people. And so they met Jesus, and they were far off, and they lifted up their voices, and they cried out to Jesus, and they begged for something. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Mercy, what is mercy? It's undeserved kindness. And the Bible tells us that God is a gracious God and that he loves mercy. God loves mercy. And you know why God loves mercy? Because mercy is something that someone gets to grant to another. It's a gift. You know, we like to, as parents especially, we enjoy being the benefactors of our children. We enjoy giving them gifts. In fact, we desire to give them good things. We desire good things for our children. And any normal, loving parent desires that. And here are these men that have this great need, and they come to Jesus and they beg him for mercy, and it delights God to be able to be merciful to us because he is a God of mercy, a God of compassion. But mercy is never deserved. Mercy is never earned. And mercy, I think mercy as opposed to grace, grace is of course a free gift given, but mercy is actually something that we beg for. Mercy is something that we ask for. We know we don't deserve it. We cannot purchase it. We can't merit it. But it is something that we cry out for when we recognize our need. And here were these lepers. Believe me, they knew their problem. It was readily apparent. They were diseased men. And when they saw Jesus, they knew that Jesus had the power to heal. He'd done it before. He was able. But was he willing? And these men were hoping that somehow Jesus would be willing to help them. And so what did they do? They did not come up to Jesus and demand, "Heal me now. I demand that you fix my problem." No, what did they do? They begged for mercy. We are undeserving. We are helpless. They were humble. The humble person asks for mercy. The humble person requests mercy. Remember the man who was standing before the master who owed him so much, that the story of the unforgiving servant. I'm not going to bring out the whole story right now, but what did that man do? He had a debt that was completely unpayable. He was to be sold into slavery. His doom was sealed. And what did he do when he came before the master? He fell down on his face and he said, "Have mercy. Have mercy on me. Have pity on me. I do not deserve your favor, but I'm asking for it." When the publican and the Pharisee, the story Jesus tells of the two men that were at the temple praying, the Pharisee, you know, prayed in his pride and it was not heard. But the publican, who knew he was a sinner, what was he doing? He wouldn't even so much as look up to heaven, would not even look up to the sky, but had his face on the ground. It says he smote on his breast and just said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And I want you to take something away today and remember that mercy is something that is begged for. Mercy is something that is requested by an undeserving person. But it's an undeserving person who recognizes his problem. Here were these lepers, and they cried out to Jesus for mercy. Would he help them? And Jesus, of course, he is good. And he delights. The Bible tells us that God delights in mercy. Let me tell you something. That is for every one of us an open invitation. The righteous Lord loveth mercy. He delights to show mercy because mercy is shown to those who recognize their problem and who humbly ask for help. And those are the kind of people that God helps. He helps readily. He helps cheerfully. And so here were these men in humility crying out for mercy. And Jesus, he had it all planned out. He tells them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And of course, if you're familiar with the Old Testament law, if a person had leprosy, and they believed themselves to be cleansed, they were to go and show themselves to the priest. The priest was kind of the doctor, so to speak, at least as far as the leprosy was concerned. They were to show themselves to the priest. The priest was to examine them. They were to be set aside, kind of quarantined for so many days. And if indeed at the end of those days they showed themselves to be healed, the disease was gone, they were allowed to be washed and then to re-enter society, to be joined back with their fellows and not to be ostracized. And so here, Jesus said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And I find it interesting the way Jesus healed them. And we find this not just in this instance, in this miracle, but in many of the miracles. What did Jesus draw out, or what did he require, or what did he put on display? He always made faith an element of his healing, did he not? If those men were to be healed, what did they have to do? Obey. And what did Jesus tell them? He didn't say, you're healed. Have a great day. No, he says, go to the priests. What did the prophet tell Naaman? Did he come out and say a few hocus pocus words, strike over the place and say, poof, you're healed. Go on your way. Have a great day, Naaman. No. Now, that's what Naaman thought he was going to do. Naaman had been watching far too much religious TV up in Syria. And he had this idea that Benny Hinn, was going to come out and heal him. But that's not what God did. What did the prophet say? He said, Naaman, go wash 7 times in a river that's really not very clean. And Naaman really struggled with that. But when he obeyed, when he exercised faith, he was healed. No different here. What did Jesus tell these 10 men? He says, go show yourselves to the priests. Now, they could have looked at themselves and said, what? We're not healed. Go show yourself to the priest. What's the point of that? We're supposed to be healed if we're going to show ourselves to the priest. No, they didn't do that. They immediately, all 10 of them, exercised faith and said, all right, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. Let's go. And they took off and headed to the local priest. And it says here, and it came to pass that as they went, as they were exercising their faith, obeying what God had said, what happened? Well, you can imagine they were walking around. As they were walking down the road, one happened to, hey, check it out. I'm healed. Another guy looks, me too. And you can just imagine the jubilation, the excitement. They had been healed. Indeed, Jesus had shown them mercy. And listen, the leper's greatest desire was to be rid of his leprosy. And here these men were healed. All 10 of them, as many as are in the front row, 10 men healed. Now, this isn't a parable. Remember, this is a true story. This actually happened. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned around. He stopped in his tracks. He turned around and came all the way back to where Jesus was standing. And with a loud voice, glorified God. What did he do? He came back and he fell on his face at the feet of Jesus in humility. And in worship. And what did he do? Thank you. Thank you. I can't imagine how many times he must have said those words. Thank you. Thank you so much. He'd met his greatest need. He was a dead man. And now he was alive. And it says he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And not only that, the Bible notes that he was a Samaritan. Well, he was a Samaritan. And Jews and Samaritans did not get along. We were just reading in John 4 last night in our family devotions about Jesus there at the well. Sychar, and there was that woman at the well, and Jesus having this conversation with this woman, and she's wondering, well, why are you talking to me? Because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. We are not on speaking terms. Why are you talking to me? When the disciples came back from the city with lunch, they looked at Jesus, and nobody said anything, but they kind of were talking amongst themselves, saying, what's he doing? Why is he talking to this woman? We don't do that. But here in this story, not only did this man come back, but Jesus had healed him regardless of who he was. Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, regardless of her ethnicity. And here this man, of all the 10, one came back. And of all that you would not have expected to come back, it was this one. It seems like by implication we could believe that the other 9 were probably Jews We don't know. But one came back, and he was a Samaritan. And he put aside his preconceived notions, what he'd been taught all his life about the Jews and how lousy they were. He came back, he said, I don't care what I've been taught. I know who you are. You just healed me. You loved me. You showed me mercy, and I owe you my life. And he fell at his feet. I fell on his face and gave thanks. But the sad thing is that in verse 17, Jesus, looking at him, said this. Were there not 10 cleansed? And of course, the answer was yes, there were 10 cleansed. All of them had received the same mercy from the Lord. All of them had had their greatest need met. All of them had been delivered from certain death. But he says, where are the 9? Where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God save this stranger. Now, I want you to think about that. Thanksgiving. The giving of thanks. Now, it doesn't matter what your situation is. All of us fit in this story. You may not be dying of some dread disease. But if you're a believer today, you have been a recipient, and you are still a recipient of the mercy of God. How many of you as parents, or just as parents, but in any of your dealings with people, but especially in your family, when you do something for your child, or when you give them something, or you meet a need, or you do something, what do you expect to hear? In fact, what do you train your children to do? We train them to say thank you. Did you know that that is not a natural response? It isn't. In fact, in this story, only 10% of the population understood that. Okay? 9 just kept on going. You know, we teach our children, be thankful. When someone does something for you, what do? Thank them. When someone gives you something, what do? Thank them. We were just recently down at in South Carolina, and we did a little concert for the grandparents and whoever wanted to come and see, and it was a lot of fun. I had about 80 people show up, and afterwards a gentleman came to me and handed me an envelope and said, I want this is for your family. This is for you. And I said, oh, no. He goes, no, please take it. And he says, your father was such a blessing to me. And he gave me the testimony of the influence that my father had. Well, I took the envelope, and later on that evening, I opened it up, and the man had written a check to our family, a generous, just a love gift. And I could not wait. I was troubled in my mind until I had written him. Now, I had told him thank you, but until I had written, it sat in my mind, I need to give thanks to this man. I need to write him a note. And so when we got back home, I got on the computer and sent him a note. But I did not rest until I got that note sent, because it was in my mind, I must show appreciation. I am thankful, and it would be rude. It would be mean, inconsiderate, and low if I do not show gratitude. When we don't show gratitude, what is it that we're saying? You say, well, I forgot. It doesn't matter if you forget. With a statement that we make when we refuse to say thank you, or when we refuse to show gratitude, is, I deserved that. You were just paying me a debt. That's the attitude that comes across. When we are not thankful, we act as though we deserved it. Now, interestingly enough, in the scripture, The Bible tells us that when we do what God commands us to do, does God thank us? Does God ever say, well, thank you? Think about it for a minute. Does God say, thank you? No, he doesn't. You know why? And the scripture tells us this. It says, when we have done all that we are commanded to do, and he gives the illustration of the master. The master come home. The servant has been working out in the field all day. When the master comes in and it's time for dinner, does the master say, well, here, you eat first and then serve me? He says, no. The master says, wash up, serve me dinner, and then you can eat. And he says, so it is that when we have done what God has commanded, he does not thank us. And we say, we are just unprofitable servants. We have only done what we've been told to do. For a man to stand in that place and to not be thankful is arrogance. It's ingratitude. But for God not to thank us, it demonstrates who he is. He is worthy of all that we can do. He is worthy of all our praise. He is worthy of our adoration, because without him, we can do nothing. Everything we have comes from him. We thank him for everything. God owes us no thanksgiving. We owe it to him because he is the benefactor. And the thing is, when we, as the creature, take the blessings and the mercy that God gives us without gratitude and without expressing thanksgiving, what are we doing? We're actually trying to stand in the place of God. We're actually saying, well, we deserved it. Why didn't you do this for me sooner? And here, in this passage in Luke 17, there were not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And Jesus said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And do you know why that passage is there for us? That passage is there for us to teach us to give thanks. To teach us to give thanks. Every one of us is a leper. And we have been diseased by sin. We are sinners. And guess what we need to be doing? We need to recognize who we are. We need to recognize the sickness of our soul. And what do? When we see it, we cry out for mercy. We are to cry out to God for mercy. David rejoiced in the loving and tender mercies of the Lord. He says, your mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, every day, we are the recipients of God's mercy. And how should we respond? Should we be like the 9 lepers who just, well, it was our lucky day, or we deserved it? Or, you know, listen, I guarantee you all of those other 9 lepers were certainly glad they were healed. Absolutely. And did God heal them? Yes, he did. Was his healing conditioned on their thanksgiving? No, it was not. But they revealed what was in their hearts. And only one came back and gave glory to God. Listen, God delights to show us mercy. But God also delights when we humbly admit, God, we sure didn't deserve that. Thank you so much. Listen, do not let a day go by without you being thankful. Demonstrate your thankfulness. Be thankful to those that God has placed in your life. Be thankful for those people who are the channels of God's mercy. Be gracious. Never, never receive mercy without thanksgiving. And be careful about that, because God delights in our thanksgiving. There in Psalm 100, enter into his presence with singing, or into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Give him thanks. We have so much to be thankful for. So I want to leave you with that thought. There's a lot more I could say, but I think this is a great closing point. Remember this story, Luke 17. Don't forget it. God delights in showing mercy. And we, in our response, demonstrate our humility and our dependence on him by being thankful. And of course, as parents, teach your children. Teach them to be thankful. If they receive something without saying thanks, you stop them. You turn around and say, what do you say? How many of you said, what do you say? Yeah, we always use that phrase. What do you say? What is required? You are required to show gratitude. And we teach them this habit because, again, it is not natural. The natural, arrogant, sinful flesh wants to say, hey, thanks. What? Or give me more. No, we are to show gratitude. And so let us be thankful, not just this week, not just on Thanksgiving Day, of course, but may gratitude be a part of your life. Isn't it great when you meet someone who's just gracious, who's so grateful, who's so thankful? It's so refreshing because you know what? If the Bible is in any indication of statistical significance, 90% of the world out there is ungrateful. 10% of the world. And you know what? Christians should be making up that 10%, let me tell you. We, as believers, are to be grateful. Be thankful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this short story here in Scripture. But Lord, oh, the great truth that it reveals. Father, thank you so much that you are a God who loves mercy. You love it when we call on you for mercy. And Lord, we don't ask for mercy enough because we're so arrogant. We think we're doing fine. But Lord, help us to recognize that we indeed are lepers. And Lord, we are daily, hourly in need of your mercy. And Lord, may we call upon you for mercy. Thank you for being a good God. Thank you for loving to show mercy. And Lord, when you do show us mercy, and when you are gracious to us, Lord, may our hearts respond as did this one Samaritan, and may we fall at your feet, and may we thank you. May we praise you. And Lord, let this lesson be not soon forgotten. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.